I'm going to read a section from a piece of short fiction called The Bird in Hand. And by way of introduction, I'll say that 16-year-old Darby has arrived at her father's house burning with news of an early Oxford University acceptance. She's entertaining herself in his bedroom, waiting for the professor to come out of the washroom. She has just poured herself a glass of scotch and opened, then laid aside, a letter from his one-time grad student and former lover, Tomas. The scotch was good. Glenmorangie, 18. Tomas once compared it unfavorably to a 16-year-old, stronger-flavored scotch, and I remember having badly wanted the professor to reply, "That scotch is a good time, Tom, but this one's a relationship." Or something good. Cutting. I'd badly wanted something. All scotch still tasted like piss to me, but I had aspirations. "Come out, Professor. You've driven off the woman again, and I'm not cooking either, by the way." His voice through the door. "Don't be a cunt, darling." A sign of life. I had said that to Marjorie Kaczynski Spears, a girl I nearly made friends with my first month at BSS, having just turned 11. I told her that the scar on my neck was from trying to kill myself and that I'd been sent to bullshit school instead of prison. Also, that I had sprung fully formed from the professor's forehead. First-rate lies, neither of which Marjorie found compelling in the least. She told on me for the C-word. I was reprimanded. I ripped the lining out of my blazer and tried to make an ascot out of it that first month, too. I was reprimanded for that as well. "Christ Jesus, I have to show you something." More water running. It was only then that I noticed the wall, a negligible scuff sketching a single point of impact. Against the baseboard, victim of this aborted trajectory, was a small-ish cardboard box. Abandoning the letters and scotch, I walked over and picked it up. The box appeared to contain a cheap electric razor. "Panasonic Pro Curve," the package proclaimed. Anathema in this house, certainly. A misguided gift from Miss Fang. I hoped it had not been thrown at her. If the professor had ever successfully maintained a relationship, it was with his beloved Dovo razor. Dodo, I would call it, sitting on the edge of the tub, watching him carve away his Karl Marx whipped cream beard. A 5/8-inch high-carbon etched stainless steel blade mounted in an elegant desert ironwood handle. Hollow ground by skilled craftsmen in the last German factory producing fine straight razors. Dovo Steelware, named for its founders Mr. Dorp and Mr. Voos, began in 1904 as a humble forge and hollow grinding shop. They produced one thing, perfectly, the open straight razor. Production continues to this day, all manner of cutlery now manufactured, mainly by hand, and shipped worldwide from Solingen, Germany, the city of blades. My childhood dream is the black forest with night coming on. Being lost. It gets darker and darker until I can't see my hand in front of my face. I trip over something and fall to the ground and there is dirt in my mouth. I have disturbed a terrible giant. It is Mr. Dorp and Mr. Voos making the beast with two backs. They roar at me and gnash their teeth, all made of knives. The mouth dirt has paralyzed me, and just when I think they will swallow me whole, a lightning bolt splits them in two, and they topple apart, not dead, but snoring. I lie pinned between them and fall asleep, listening to the sound of saws. The sanctity of the professor's union with his shaving implement could not be violated. When I nearly severed a carotid artery in my own emulative ritual, it was I who was banished post-haste to be among my own kind, as he put it. Necessary, Christ Jesus, Tom, of course it's necessary. Understand, for a moment, what could have happened here. The dodo remained. I'd been up there going on half an hour. The water continued to run. I drummed loudly on the door and sulked. I had another drink, slid my school tie over the bedpost and wrung its black oak neck. I collapsed on the worn duvet and folded my ticket of psychic invulnerability into a wilted airplane. I launched it optimistically toward the bookshelf. I imagined nubile co-eds frolicking in knickers through fields of heather. I imagined handsome Tomas flying to visit me every weekend and whisking me off to Paris twice a year. I imagined introducing him as my father. The faucet finally shut off. "It's not locked,"